asked to introduce our special speaker today. He has been attending Open Door for 4 or 5 months or so and has pastored for over 25 years up in the north, some of the great states like Minnesota, New York, some great states, Minnesota. They have great baseball teams and stuff. But if you guys would welcome Mr. Bill Glazer. He has been entrusted to speak to us this evening.
Thank you, brother. Amen. I love the presence of the Lord. I love his church. I love this church. I thank you for letting me share with you tonight, and I consider it an honor and a privilege to be able to preach the Word of God. I was thinking about what I wanted to share tonight, and I thought about that verse that says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power." And the reality is, in my own life, I've lived too much of my Christian life without much power. And if the truth be known, if I look around, much of the church, I don't want to say everybody, but I say much of the church lives without much spiritual power, lacks real power in prayer and their marriages and their families and their personal life and their walking after God. And as I pastored, like I say, over 20 years, I discovered that there's several keys to spiritual power and spiritual growth. And the topic I wanted to talk about tonight, I believe, is among the top five anyway. It may not be the number one reason, but it's among the top five that Christians are, for the most part, weak and wimpy. And it came to me in two different ways. The first one was, as I was going through the New Testament, as I studied the New Testament, the verses I wanted to read tonight is one of the three verses that tend to indicate that there's unforgivable sin. I'm not saying, you know, we could spend a whole topic on whether and what those unforgivable sins are. That's not my purpose tonight. But the verse I wanted to share tonight was one that indicates there is an unforgivable sin. And it really is a footnote to the Lord's Prayer. And most of you, if you're raised in church, could probably recite the Lord's Prayer by heart. And it's a footnote that Jesus made to the Lord's Prayer. If you remember what's going on with the Lord's Prayer, the disciples had come and asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, and he had given them a model prayer. Most of you could say it by heart. Our Father who art in heaven, you can mumble it with me. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive others. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil or the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And then he looks up, and Jesus gives this footnote in his teaching on prayer. He says this is what I want to use as my text for tonight, Matthew 6, 14, and 15. He looks up after he gives that model prayer, and he adds a little footnote to the disciples. He wants them to really get it. If you have a chance, if you got that, you can put that on, Matthew 6, 14, and 15. He looks up after he teaches them that prayer, and he says, "For if you forgive men, forgive other people, forgive men." I'll read it from the New International. "For if you give men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Okay? He says, basically, you know, forgive us our debts as we forgive those, our debtors, or those who trespass against us. He basically says, look, if you can't get that, the deal's off. I can't forgive you. And by implication, your prayers are going to be pretty much powerless and meaningless, since he's teaching on prayer. And so tonight, what I wanted to talk about is forgiving other people, all right? And I think most of you got a little card when you came in this evening, a little card about getting out of jail free. And what I wanted to do tonight is figure out who you're supposed to forgive. All of us need to forgive someone at different points in our life. I want us to figure out who we need to forgive tonight, and that's a little card for you to write down. When you figure it out by the end of the service, hopefully you can write their name there, and then deal with the issue that Jesus is talking about here. By the way, I believe the Bible literally. I believe it's true. I believe it just means what it says, right? So when Jesus says, hey, if you can't get this, if you can't forgive, I can't forgive you, I think he means it literally, okay? I believe you go through your life living without the power of God, and if you don't get it sooner or later, you wind up without eternal life altogether. So I believe the scriptures are just meant to be taken literally. I believe Jesus means that literally. And what got me thinking about the message tonight was, it's easy to live your spiritual life in the abstract, but it's very difficult to live your spiritual life in the particular. Let me give you an example. Remember when Jesus was asked, he asked some guy what the greatest commandment was, or I guess the guy asked him, and Jesus said, how do you read it? And he said, well, I guess it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus goes, bingo, that's right. And then, I'm paraphrasing here, the guy said, the scripture said, seeking to justify himself, he said, well, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus had to tell him the parable of the Good Samaritan, like the person near you that's in need is your neighbor, is the one you're supposed to love. See, it's easy to love people in the abstract, just to love people, but it's really hard to love the idiot at work or your wife when you're arguing with her on Monday morning. You know what I'm saying? It's easy to live the spiritual life in the abstract, and it's very hard to live the spiritual life in the particular. And so it's easy when it comes to forgiveness, it's easy to forgive like everyone. But it's very, very hard to forgive someone, you know, someone particular. Okay, that's what I'm talking about tonight. So hopefully, and I thought the way we do this, kind of play a little game, as I go through how I'm going to share the messages, I'm just going to give you some clues as to who you're supposed to forgive. And since I don't know who that is, I've been praying that the Holy Spirit would reveal that to you as we go along. You know what I'm saying? And so you'll have a name to write down on the card by the end of the night of the person that you're supposed to forgive. And I got the idea from the Valentine's play. You know what I'm saying? We had a bunch of characters on there. All of them were suspects. And by the end of the evening, we had to figure out who it was in particular that had done it. You know what I'm saying? And so that's what I want to do tonight. I want to figure out, in the particular, who is God the Holy Spirit asking you to forgive? Okay, that's the game we're playing. All right, so here's clue number one. And I've been praying that the Holy Spirit's going to reveal it to you, okay, by the time we're done this evening. So you might want to keep a little list of names, write them down, get out a pen, and then we're going to narrow it down to the person you're supposed to forgive. And again, I won't know who that is, but perhaps you and God will. Clue number one is that the Holy Spirit wants you to forgive somebody who has really hurt you, okay, somebody who has really hurt you. The reality is, we're only supposed to forgive people that sin against us, all right, that sin against us, all right, debtors that owe us something. You don't have to forgive everybody. You only have to forgive somebody who's really hurt you, all right? Listen, not all sins that are committed against us hurt, is that right? I mean, people sin against me all day long. In fact, man is basically sinful, and just going through the day, I experience all kinds of people that sin against me, but not all of them hurt. For instance, you can insult me about my baldness, my lack of hair, and it just bounces off me. I really am not very sensitive about that. I really don't care. You know what I'm saying? But if you insult my character and call me a liar or something like that, that really hurts me. You know what I'm saying? It's just the way I'm built. I can handle bald jokes, but I can't handle character attacks. You know what I'm saying? So for me, I don't really have to forgive people who make bald jokes about me. It just kind of bounces off me, all right? And so the same is true for all of you. Not all sins hurt you, and it depends on your sensibilities. It depends on how you're wired. Certain things hurt you and certain things don't. And so God is only calling you. The first clue is you only have to forgive people that have really hurt you, okay, really hurt you. And by the way, if I can just make a note here, so often the way we handle sins against us that really hurt us is instead of dealing with them and working through forgiveness, we just sort of pretend they don't hurt. Anybody do that? You just sort of fake it. You sort of put on, you know, you even try and fake yourself out, all right? And you go through life and you just try to pretend like that didn't hurt you, but if you'd stop and think about it and get honest with yourself, you'd have to admit, man, that really hurt. You know what I'm saying? We just put on the smiley face. Maybe a bunch of reasons why we do that. We don't want to look weak. It's easier to fake it and put on the smiley face than it is to work through issues of forgiveness. You think maybe if I just ignore it long enough, pretty soon I'll get over it. That never happens, by the way, right? Just ignoring it, you never get past it. So the first clue is, clue number one, is I believe the Holy Spirit, God is dealing with you, asking you to forgive somebody who has really hurt you, has really hurt you in your life, okay? Clue number two, I believe that what God the Holy Spirit wants you to do tonight as far as forgiveness is to forgive somebody who's very close to you, very close to you. The truth is, only people that are very close to us can hurt us. You know what I'm saying? Only people who are very close to us can hurt us. Just think of one of your coworkers at work. Maybe he stabs you in the back, steps on you to get a promotion or something like that. I mean, that can hurt you in real ways. Might hurt you economically, something like that. But the reality is, when you lay down and go to sleep at night, you can pretty much get past that. You know what I'm saying? Because he's not all that close to you. You can usually go on. You can usually let it go. In fact, a lot of the times the way you handle it is you just blame yourself for being so stupid for letting somebody get that close to you to hurt you. You know what I'm saying? But the reality is only people who are really close to you can hurt you. People who are intimate, people who you open yourself up to, people that you're vulnerable to, people that you just got kind of exposed yourself to or trusted in some real way. And when they hurt you, the pain is excruciating, okay? I think of Psalms 55. David wrote this. Psalms 55, if you have that one, you can put it up. David wrote this from Psalms 55, verses 12 through 14. Remember the life of David. He had a lot of people that done him wrong. You know what I'm saying? And we don't know who he's talking about here, but in Psalms 55, he writes this. If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were raising himself against me, I could hide from him. But it is you, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship. And he goes, that's the one that really hurts me. It's the one that was close to me, okay? Those are the ones that really hurt. And so when I think about the second clue about you only have to forgive people that someone who's very close to you, more than likely it'll be somebody who's like a close friend, okay? Somebody maybe who's even a brother in the Lord, close to you in that way. Maybe it'll be somebody even in the ministry, maybe even a pastor or someone has hurt you, okay? Someone who is a church leader who you made yourself vulnerable to and they hurt you in some way. More than likely, it will be a family member, a child or a sibling or a parent or a spouse. That one really hurts. Or an ex-spouse. Someone who's really close to you, okay? That's why we can all relate to when Jesus was betrayed by Judas. The reason it hurts so much is because it was someone who was so close. So clue number two, believe God is asking you to forgive someone who is very, very close to you, okay? Someone who's close to you, all right? Clue number three, I believe that God would be asking you to forgive someone you still think about, someone that you still think about quite often. This is when I got a couple of illustrations tonight, and the first one is the first time I really came to grips with having to forgive someone. As a matter of fact, I was actually older. I was actually gone into the ministry at that point in my life. I was actually a pastor, and another pastor just wounded me in the deepest way. I couldn't even believe that he would have done such a thing. And so what started to happen was I began to fantasize in my mind, and y'all can nod so I don't feel like I'm the only one that does this, but I began to fantasize in my mind that I would have a conversation with this guy and that I would expose his sin, you know what I'm saying? And I began to think about it during the day, and it felt really good to think about that, you know what I'm saying? It made me feel really good, okay? And then after a while, my fantasy began to get bigger and bigger and wilder. Pretty soon my fantasy was that I would expose this person in public, in front of people. You know what I'm saying? And he'd be humiliated. And it would be obvious to all that he sinned against me. You know what I'm saying? And that felt even better when I think those thoughts. You know what I'm saying? Now somebody nodded. Am I the only one that happens to, or can you relate to this? All right. And then my fantasy got wilder and wilder. Pretty soon, I was exposing him in large public gatherings. You know what I'm saying? And that felt really good. Okay, it felt better. And pretty soon, these thoughts began to consume me. And it became apparent to me that I had a forgiveness problem. And it's the first time in my life I really had to grapple with the issue of forgiveness. But the point is the thoughts just kept coming more and more frequently. Pretty soon I was thinking about that all day long throughout the day at different times in the day. I almost couldn't, and the thoughts began to consume me. Okay? And so I believe that God will ask us to forgive, and if we have unforgiveness in our life, more often than not, it will be with about someone that we think about quite often. Okay, think about quite often. All right. And maybe it's somebody that you don't think about, and the only reason you don't think about them is because you're constantly having to put them out of your mind. You know what I'm saying? You're trying to put them out of your mind. All right. Jesus wants you to forgive the one who is stealing so much of your thoughts, your joy, and your peace, the one who's consuming so much of your mind and your thoughts. So clue number three is that Jesus, I believe the Holy Spirit, is asking you to forgive someone you still think about quite often, and maybe you're still thinking about them, and it's 10, 15, even 20 years later. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Somebody nod at me. Tell me I'm not the only one that okay, you all know what I'm talking about, all right? Clue number four. I believe that perhaps tonight God the Holy Spirit is asking you to forgive a person who has hurt you repeatedly. I mean, man, they not only burned you once, but you made yourself vulnerable to them again, and they got you a second time. You know what I mean? Maybe even third and fourth. I don't know. But they hurt you repeatedly, okay? They had the audacity, after you forgave them the first time, to come back and burn you again. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking of, you know, that verse from Matthew 18 where, you know, Peter came and said, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive somebody? Up to seven times. And Jesus said, no, man, like 70 times seven or seven times seven. Basically, you meant you just need to keep repeatedly forgiving them. And the reality is you tried that and you got burned multiple times. I believe that God is asking you to forgive the person who has sinned against you repeatedly. Sometimes it's not the size of the offense, but the fact that it's been repeated so often. I don't have a real big prophetic gift or anything like that, but one time I was praying at the altar one time, and this lady came up for a prayer, and it was like God revealed to me prophetically that I didn't know what was going on in her life, but I just said, man, you know, I just have a picture of you, and you've been chopped up with a bunch of little paper cuts. None of them are very big, but it's just 1,000 little paper cuts. And she just began to break down and cry and just started relating how this one person had just, little things had repeatedly hurt her over and over and over again. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's the God asks us to forgive the one who has sinned against us repeatedly. Can I take a little detour, and then I'll come back to my message here? I need to stop right here and just make it very clear. If the person is still hurting you repeatedly, you probably haven't forgiven them, okay? If they're still at it, if they're still hurting you, you probably have not forgiven them. And what I mean by that is, forgiveness is not enabling. Forgiveness doesn't mean you enable the person to go on in their sin. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about tonight. I'm on a little side detour here. Everybody with me? Do you know what I'm talking about? What I'm talking about, actually, when Jesus was, you know, told Peter that he had to forgive 70 times 7, do you know the context of that? It followed immediately after Jesus said, teaching about going and confronting sin. You know, where you take a brother with you, and if they, you know, that's the context. He says, man, you got to deal with sin and confront it, but you also have to learn how to forgive. But the point is that sin does not mean enabling, all right? Let me just paint it real clear for you, okay? Let me be very, very clear. If you're in an abusive relationship, you need to learn how to forgive, but first you need to call the police, all right? Is everybody with me on that one? You need to learn how to forgive, but the first thing you need to do is call the police, all right? If you're in a relationship, like say with a man who's abusing sexually or physically a child, You may have to deal with issues of forgiveness, and Jesus expects you to, but the first thing you need to do is call the police, all right? I just want to make that clear. I'm not talking about enabling behavior here. I'm talking about dealing with unforgiveness, all right? Now, they're two different things, all right? And the fact that you're still enduring it means that you haven't forgiven yet. You haven't even started to deal with forgiveness yet. You know what I'm saying? So just want to make that clear. That was my side note, okay? Now I'm coming back to my message, all right? Coming back to my message. So clue number four is, I believe that the person that God might be asking you to forgive tonight, the one that the Holy Spirit might be prompting you to forgive, is a person who may have hurt you repeatedly over and over. All right? Okay. Clue number five. I believe God, the Holy Spirit, is probably asking you to forgive somebody who doesn't deserve it. Somebody who doesn't deserve it. Hey, that's the definition of forgiveness. Forgiveness means not getting what you deserve. Okay? And so God's dealing with you. Forgiveness means you're going to have to forgive somebody who doesn't deserve it. Hey, every time you forgive somebody, it feels bad. It feels unfair because it is, all right, at least initially. The reason it feels so unfair to forgive somebody is because it is, all right? It's not fairness, okay? It's not fairness. But you need to take heart. There is cosmic justice, okay? There is cosmic justice. You need to take heart in that. Listen, all sin is paid for one way or the other. You don't have to worry. All sin gets paid for one way or the other. This came to light for me one time. I was a girl in my church that my wife and I were ministering in, and her name was Angel. And again, just horrible situation. Her father had molested her repeatedly as a young child growing up, just repeatedly molested her. She had all kinds of problems from that. I think maybe her father even wound up going to prison, but she had all kinds of problems. She was one of those that would cut herself. She was very suicidal. She was in and out of the institutions all the time. And I remember talking to her about forgiveness one time, and her greatest fear was, if she forgave her father, she felt like it would be letting him get off the hook. You know, it would be like setting him free somehow. And I remember how I finally helped her to work through that was kind of dealt with that whole issue. Hey, listen, all sin gets paid for. Either you pay for it in eternity through hell and judgment, or it gets paid for on the cross. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or it gets paid for on the cross. Like, see, like sometimes we forget what the cost of the grace of God is in our life. It isn't that God, just like Santa Claus, decided to forget the whole thing. The reason you stand forgiven is because God's wrath was poured out upon Christ on the cross. See, all sin gets paid for one way or the other. It gets paid for in the final judgment, or it gets paid for by Christ on the cross. The Bible says this about Jesus and what he did on the cross in Isaiah. Isaiah 53, the Bible says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him." See, you don't have to worry about anybody getting off the hook. There is cosmic justice. And all sin is paid for one way or the other. It either was paid for by Christ dying on the cross and suffering the punishment that you deserved, or it gets paid for in the final judgment. It doesn't just get forgotten. All right? You can rest assured that all sin gets paid for. All right? The other way it gets paid for, like I said, is an eternity in hell. I was thinking of that passage from Romans. In Romans chapter 12, it says, "Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written," and this is the quote, God speaking, "it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Now, I don't know about you, but it always makes me feel kind of good when I forgive somebody that deserves it, that's done me wrong, to know that when I forgive them, I'm heaping burning coals on their head. I know that's kind of counter to what the whole message I'm preaching, but there's just a part of me that's not too nice, and I sort of like that verse. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, all sin will be paid for. You don't have to worry about, if you forgive, that they're going to get off scot-free. See, the reality is, if you think of that verse, when you forgive, you turn them over to God to let him mess with them. Okay, you set God free to start messing with them. You like finally enable, you know, it's like, sick him, God. You know, because as long as you're holding on to it, he can't do nothing to him. All right? So, clue number five. I believe God the Holy Spirit is asking you or dealing with you to forgive someone who doesn't deserve it. And when you do that, it's going to feel very unfair. Okay? Clue number six. I believe God may be asking you, the Holy Spirit may be asking you to forgive someone who hasn't asked for it and never will. Maybe never will. Probably never will. Again, I pastored for a long time, many years, and I remember my wife and I were counseling another lady in the church, and again, seems like there's a lot of sexual abuse going on. It was an older lady who was also molested as a young child, and she was just having all kinds of problems in her marriage and her personal life and all her relationships. And finally, it dawned on me after a while, meeting with her for a period of time, that she needed, you know, the issue was she had hatred towards her father still and needed to forgive him. And I remember finally in one, we'd been meeting with her for a long period of time, and I just kind of threw it out there as a suggestion, said, well, hey, you know, Jesus, read the verse that I used as a text. I said, maybe God's asking you to finally let go and forgive this one who has sinned against you. And I remember she like blew up, you know, just got zip, you know, the veins popped out in her neck, and she said, I'll forgive him when he asks for it. You know what I'm saying? That's not the way it works. Hey, it's easier when they beg and crawl, right? It's not easy, but it's easier. When they finally come crawling, I'll be able to forgive them. You know, I mean, it's still hard, but it's easier. But it's tough to forgive the one who will never even acknowledge that they hurt you. And those are the tough cases, right? I mean, anybody had one of those, that they still won't even acknowledge it. You know what I'm saying? If you could get a public apology, you know, you could do it, but I believe God's asking you to forgive the one who has never asked for an apology and never will. Okay? The Bible says we need to forgive like Jesus forgives you, and the way Jesus forgave you was this way. Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still or yet sinners, Christ died for you. See, he offered forgiveness to you before you even ask. Before you even ask, God offered to forgive you. The offer of forgiveness was there. All right. Clue number six. God, the Holy Spirit, tonight is asking you, some of you, to forgive someone who will never ask for it, who will never ask for forgiveness. Number seven, kind of related to it, God is asking you to forgive someone who probably wouldn't receive it, even if they knew that you wanted to forgive them. They wouldn't receive it anyway. Let me mention this too. Forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. I can forgive and the relationship may never be restored. See, the other person has to receive the forgiveness before we can come back in fellowship. You know what I'm saying? But my forgiving doesn't necessarily mean we're going to be reconciled. All right? Again, let me use the illustration in God's forgiveness and offer of salvation. God wants everybody to be saved, right? I mean, that's what the scripture says. He wants to forgive everybody. In fact, he offers forgiveness to everyone through the cross. Is that correct? I mean, anybody in here, if you haven't experienced the forgiveness of God, you can't, because he offers for everybody. Nobody's excluded, right? God, our Savior, wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Jesus died on the cross, and he wants to forgive everybody and anybody. Does that mean everybody's forgiven? No. Because there's a lot of people that can't receive that or won't receive that. Okay, they won't receive it. In fact, Jesus says this in Matthew 7. He says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Okay? See, forgiveness is offered to everybody. It's only experienced by a few of those who receive it, so forgiveness doesn't mean reconciliation necessarily. All right? Let me put it to you this way. Forgiveness is a unilateral act. Forgiveness is a unilateral act. It doesn't depend on whether the other person receives it or not. It doesn't matter whether the other person wants it or not. It doesn't matter whether you ever reconcile with the other person. It doesn't matter whether you even come back into a relationship. Well, you can still forgive. Okay, you can still forgive. I got this written down. Forgiveness is something that you do by yourself, and forgiveness is something that you do for yourself. Okay? Forgiveness is something that you do by yourself, and forgiveness is something that you do for yourself. You probably heard this little saying. I'm sure the pastors use it. I haven't heard him, but it's a pretty popular saying. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Have you heard that one? Okay. It's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. See, forgiveness is something that you can do by yourself and you do for yourself. Let me finish up here real quick. This became evident to me as I look back at my own family life. My grandmother on my mother's side, she had raised my mother and my mom's sister by herself. She was a single mom back in the days when that was kind of an unusual, weird thing. You know what I'm saying? She was a single mom, raised my mother and my mother's sister as a single mom all those years. And the reason she raised him by himself was her husband, when she first got married, was a real rounder. You know what I'm saying? He was an alcoholic. He was a drunkard. He was at the bars all the time. And he was also an adulterer. He didn't have just one affair. He had multiple affairs publicly and openly in this tiny town. Just humiliated my grandmother. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he was not a good man. Okay? That was my grandfather. And so my grandmother, just in this tiny town, he openly, publicly humiliated her, was an adulterer and a drunkard and just the worst kind of guy. My grandmother finally divorced him, raised my mother and her sister by herself. They experienced poverty. They were very poor all their grown-up years because he never paid them support or anything like that. And I remember if we ever tried to talk about my grandfather, We got hushed up, like, shh, shh, you know, you can never talk about him. And so I never really knew anything about him until later when I asked and I got the story and it got filled in. And we could never mention his name. We could never ask about him when I was growing up in my grandmother's house. And as I remember it, when my grandmother finally died, I came home from college one time and my mom was all dressed up and I asked her where she was going. She got kind of nervous. And she was going to visit her father. But she waited until my grandmother died so that she didn't dishonor her and all that. And I kept thinking, oh, man, you can't do that, because I had visions in my head of this monstrous guy, you know what I'm saying, this awful man, you know, and, oh, why would you want to go visit him? But she just had curiosity, wanted to go visit him. She finally reestablished a relationship, invited him to our home, and I got to meet him. And lo and behold, when I met him, he was the nicest guy in the world. He was actually a pleasant old geezer. He had gotten remarried. His second marriage was strong. He had stayed married to this woman that he'd married after my grandmother had defeated the alcoholism in his life. Had just turned out to be he was just the most wonderful guy to hang out with. I got to know him, spend time with him, and then I got to looking back at how my grandmother turned out. And the reality is, is my grandmother was kind of this bitter, shriveled up, very unpleasant, nasty person. You know what I'm saying? And it began to dawn on me, go figure. You know what I'm saying? He was the one who sinned. And you know, my grandmother was the one who wound up living in bondage. And somehow he'd gotten set free. And all of a sudden, it began to dawn on me that the problem was my grandmother got eaten alive by the cancer of unforgiveness. Seems unfair, doesn't it? Don't seem right, but that's just the way unforgiveness works. See, unforgiveness will make you a bitter, sour person, will ruin your relationships, will ruin your life, may even ruin your health, and according to the scriptures, will ultimately ruin your soul. See, forgiveness is something you do by yourself, for yourself. It's a unilateral act. It doesn't require any action on the part of the other person. Clue number 7 is God, the Holy Spirit, is probably asking you to forgive someone tonight, someone who won't even receive it, someone who probably wouldn't even receive it if you offered it to him. My last clue and clue number 8 is I believe God, the Holy Spirit, is asking you to forgive a person, the last person in the world that you feel like forgiving. The last person in the world you feel like forgiving. Hey, listen, if you kept waiting until you felt like forgiven, you'll never do it. Remember the story I shared with you about this pastor that had done me wrong, and I first started dealing with forgiveness, and I finally figured out that my problem was I had to forgive this guy. And I remember I went months without being able to forgive him, and I kept praying, God, you know, help me forgive this guy, because I know I need to. I just can't. Help me forgive this guy. And I'd pray night after night, you know, God, help me forgive this person. God, help me forgive this person. And then finally, I think I read one of Neil Anderson's books. I don't know. Some of you know who he is. And he wrote a book about forgiveness. And it dawned on me that what I was trying to do was I was asking God to help me feel like forgiving him. Okay? That I was waiting until I felt like forgiving him. Okay? And that's what I meant by God, help me forgive. God won't answer that prayer. Okay? God won't answer that prayer. See, it's a command of God to forgive. The Bible says this, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. See, God's asking you to forgive, not because you feel like it. It's just a command. Hey, how about the commands of God? Are you supposed to just obey them when you finally get around to feel like doing it? No, you're just supposed to learn how to obey the commands of God. Well, forgiveness is a command of God. You're just supposed to do it because God says you have to and that you'll be set free by doing it. It's an act of the will. It's an act of the will. You just finally come to the decision that you're going to do what God tells you to do. There doesn't have to be any feeling involved with it. Doesn't have to be any feeling at all. And after reading the book by this Neil Anderson, he basically said this. He says, man, when you finally get it and you finally decide to forgive, then just do it. Say a prayer of forgiveness. And he had a little prayer there written out. God, I just, as an act of my will, I don't feel like it. I choose to forgive so-and-so because you command me to do it. I let him go. Would you please forgive him? And I tried praying that prayer. And lo and behold, forgiveness began to work in my life when I just did it as an act of my will. Forgiveness is just a logical response to God's grace. If you think about it, it just makes sense. I mean, that's the parable of the unmerciful servant, right? This guy owes the king $10 million. He comes in and asks forgiveness, begs for forgiveness. The king lets him go, and he goes out and finds some guy that owes him 10 bucks and strangles him and has him thrown into prison. And we all go, that ain't right. Well, it just makes sense. If God's forgiven all of your sins, it only makes sense that you would forgive another person. So clue number 8, and the last clue is, God the Holy Spirit tonight is asking you to forgive the last person on earth that you feel like forgiving. Okay, maybe I'll ask the worship team to come up. We'll just close with that tonight, and hopefully you got a name, someone that God's asking you to forgive. Hey, people are sinning against you all day long. We all need regularly to learn how to forgive one another. And God says, you get set free when you finally, by an act of your will, commit to forgive as God has forgiven you. So why don't we just close in prayer tonight, and I'll just let the worship team play. And if you feel like you'd like to spend time at the altar tonight, maybe that would be a good prayer. If God has revealed to you a specific person that he's asking you to forgive, you could just come up and pray that kind of prayer and be set free tonight. And I might add one other thing to that. And that's just, you can't give what you never got. If you never have experienced the forgiveness of God in your life, it's pretty tough to give. You know what I'm saying? If you're here tonight, you don't know what it's like to have your sins forgiven. You can be forgiven tonight. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you to pay for all your sins. The slate can be wiped clean. It's pretty tough to give something that you never got. You can be forgiven tonight. If you need to experience the forgiveness, you know you're not right with God. You know there's still sins that stand between you and God. You can come tonight, be washed clean, be forgiven. So I'll just make that the altar time. You can just come and pray for any need you want. And if you would like to finally let someone go, be set free tonight, you can do that. If the Holy Spirit's revealed someone that you need to let go tonight, come and do that. If you need to have your own sins forgiven, if you need to come to Christ tonight, you can do that. Come this evening. So just let the worship team play.
Altar ministry workers, if you will come and be available at the front. So if there's someone that needs prayer, we're just going to worship the Lord. The more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you, the more